Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars
Eller! Every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Not only are we making plenty of picks, but the NFL Draft Round 1 is in the books. 1-800-919-3776. So much to get into. The Knicks went up against that punk, that dirty punk known as Joel Embiid, who's a terrific player, but a punk. And we'll get into that as well. We're going to bring back, because it's a special Friday, we're going to bring back a very special segment later in the show. I believe it's called, how do you say it? The Football Frenzy. And our arch enemy, Imani Toomer, will join the show to break down the Giants and get into the pickleball at 8:30 this morning. Plays of the week, very popular. Before we get to any of it, we say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hello, David. Let's face it, too.
What?
Just that round one of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So you need to have a football frenzy. And on top of that, we're probably going to spend at least 2 of the 4 hours roasting Joel Embiid anyway.
Right. It'll be like a built-in roast.
Right. It's a full day of roasting Joel Embiid.
I wish I could actually verbalize what I actually think about him right now.
I can kind of see where you're going with that. I think people understand how you feel about it. And for all those people that are upset that guys fight in hockey, this is why guys fight in hockey.
Yeah,
well, because you're going to act a little bit
in basketball.
You're going to act a little bit differently when you know you're going to have to drop your gloves and get punched in the face.
Ugh.
It's not just him either. Kyle Lowry took a swipe right at Dante's face.
Awful. He's a dirty player, Joel Embiid. You can't convince me otherwise. We'll get into it as the morning rolls along. Let's start with the draft. 1-800-919-3776. I think we start with the Giants, right? That was the bigger topic. And are they going to take quarterback? And J.J. McCarthy, who have you spent the most time with? The Giants. We went over this. We went over that. It seems they love me. I love them. The whole system. They have a chance to take him. 6th overall. Giants will take Malik Nabers. I'm upset that I have to deal with Daniel Jones, it looks like, for another year. But I love Malik Nabers.
I think everyone loves Malik Nabers. Joe Shane loves Malik Nabers. And Brian Daboll loves Malik Nabers. They like Drake May better. And that sounds like who they were actually trying to get up
guy.
And get. Right, made big offers towards the end of the time the Patriots are on the clock, and the Patriots are like, no, this is who we're going to take. It makes no sense for us. We need a quarterback. But I know you wanted a quarterback, and people were texting me yesterday, is Dave happy with the pick? I said, Dave recognizes that Drake May was the guy.
Right.
It's out of his hands because the Patriots control whether or not they want to make a deal.
Yeah, you couldn't get Drake May.
Right. We'll get into that whole thing in a second about how important the wins are and the momentum. But the last thing you would want is just take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. You can't just take J.J. McCarthy because, you know, we need a quarterback. You got to take a guy that you believe can be your franchise quarterback, and they clearly didn't think that J.J. McCarthy was. And we talked to Jordan Renan yesterday, and he's like, well, I don't know if teams would go to that kind of extreme. Well, why wouldn't you? If your mindset was, we want to make sure we get one of these top three receivers and we got the 6th pick, of course you're going to let it, you know, people think, yeah, we love J.J. McCarthy or we like Michael Penix. Why wouldn't you put that out there so a team has to jump over you to take a quarterback, now freeing you up to have your choice of, as it turns out, Nabers and Adunze?
Right. I mean, they told you basically, we they might have liked J.J. McCarthy. They didn't love J.J. McCarthy. And they realistically never intended, I imagine, to take him. Now, here's what's awkward for me, and I hate
Well, I think you also have to understand, though. So, I mean, and we get ourselves all worked up, and you start to get creative, right? When we're doing our mock drafts and everything else, God, there's going to be this many trades, and it's going to be wild. And then the draft hits, and it's like, nope. Bears are going to take Williams. Daniels is going to go 2. May's going to go 3. Harrison Jr. is going to go 4. There was still the chance that, Neighbors could go 5.
Yeah, I guess they could have taken him 5, and I don't know what the Giants would have done. But I can't imagine they would have taken McCarthy 5, 6.
But
like, even,
you have
even if Neighbors was gone, I can't imagine it.
Right, but you have to do your due diligence, right? So like the reason why you're doing that is because you're going to, I mean, you're going to have players graded a certain way. Like this is, we think, like Mel does, right? Mel has his mock draft, what he teams, you know, what he thinks teams are going to do, but he also has his best, like how he ranks these guys as far as talent, best players. Like, this is the best player available. Doesn't have nothing to do with the teams and everything else. So they got to figure out, you know, if it's not Malik Nabers, who we think is the best of the receivers, and it's going to be someone else, do we think that J.J. McCarthy is better than Rome Odunze? Right, like, so you have to,
I don't know.
But you have to go through that process to make sure.
Right, but if like, you have to figure that you value the quarterback 10 times more than the receiver, right? Even if you love the receiver, if the quarterback is someone that you look at and say, if you say he's going to be a really good quarterback, he's going to be the next Jerry Rice, like who would you rather have? Because the quarterback is just that important in the draft.
Right, but I also think you need to understand that the quarterback is the most important position. I don't disagree with you, but you still want to make sure you put the time and effort in to know that if something does happen and Malik Nabers isn't available, do we think that J.J. McCarthy is good enough where we don't take, like, he's not our favorite quarterback, but we think he's good enough that we'll pick him at 6 because our, you know, our main target wasn't available.
And again, I don't know this. I would guess that they wouldn't have done that. That would be
they
my
would
guess.
Have still, they probably still would have gone.
Either they would have, and again, I don't know. I'm guessing that they would either traded back. Or they would have taken Rome Odunze, would be my guess. But I don't know.
It's smart regardless, though. Because Either way, like, you got to do, I mean, why wouldn't you? You have these visits and everything else to do it. You want to get as much information as humanly possible. A lot of these teams will do it anyway. Just in case, you know, those quarterbacks become available at some point. They can go back to
right,
their visits.
Right, back to their scouting reports, and this is what we like, this is what we didn't. Now, this is unfortunate. Now I, because of who I am, have to root against J.J. McCarthy for his entire career.
Well, apparently this is, I mean, Minnesota's where J.J. McCarthy wanted to end up.
Well, it's a good spot. Talk about a great landing spot.
Great landing spot.
You got a good offensive line. You're playing in with no weather, right? You're indoors, and you have, if not the best, the second or third best receiver in all of football. You have another young stud receiver, and when healthy, and that will happen probably towards the latter end of next season, you have an excellent tight end as well.
And you have a really good offensive-minded head coach.
Yes. No, it's a great landing spot, but I'm not saying that that's where I don't care about what he wanted. I'm saying what I need. I can't have him be great. If he's great, he's always going to be the guy I passed up on.
Yeah, right. But see, I hate when you get into stuff like this because, I mean, Minnesota is offensively much further along than the Giants are.
Okay.
So, if he flashes early, I mean,
if he flashes early and he looks good and then he's fine in his career, that's fine. If he's a stud, if he's the next star quarterback in the NFL, I won't be able to live with myself.
That'll be tough.
Is what I'm saying. Yeah, it'll be brutal.
Because now where are we getting the quarterback now?
I mean, apparently it's another year of Daniel Jones, which I don't love. And now, how am I getting this guy? Maybe Kirk Cousins is available.
Maybe Kirk Cousins. Maybe Dak Prescott. I still can't believe that they drafted Penix.
Why would they do that? Why would they do that?
All right. So how this works is, so he's going to be, he'll be 24 here.
Right.
So he's going to be 24 years old. So they give, you know, Cousins the 4-year, $180 million deal. So the way it looks is he's going to make $62.5 million this season. If they cut him ahead of next season, it's going to cost them at least $40 million against the cap, dead money. If they wait, so now if Penix sits for 2 years, the dead cap goes down to 12.5. So
why would you take a guy that you have to wait 2 years on?
You
knew you could get Penix.
Well, who knows if you could get Penix? It sounded sounded like Vegas was going to take Penix.
It makes sense.
That has to be the reason because the Jets were trying to get Adunze.
Yeah, the Jets wanted Adunze, correct.
Right, and I had them picking. I had them trading up with Atlanta, not having any idea that they wanted freaking Michael Penix.
It's so bizarre. Why would you want Penix? You have a quarterback. You have a good quarterback.
Well, yeah, but I mean, your team has a legitimate chance now in the NFC South, but they figure Kirk Cousins at his age coming on off Achilles, right? Better to take a quarterback before you need one, I guess. I don't know how you invest that much money in one position, and it seems like you're like, okay, let's take that next step. Let's really try to compete here for the division and don't add somebody with the eighth overall pick to help you do that.
It makes zero sense. By the way, RJ.
Yes, RJ. Dave.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Who? I honestly don't know this. Who won the our picks?
Well,
it's clear he didn't read the the rundown.
I did.
Yeah.
So this is anticlimactic for many reasons.
Well, no, because I have a really good argument I could make once you tell us the results.
I'm interested.
That I already know.
Well, if we're going strictly off who went where,
right?
Not how, why trades this and that,
which is what we were supposed to go off of.
It's a tie.
4-4.
5-5.
5-5.
Okay, here's why, RJ. I will make my case that I should still win now. I have the tiebreaker.
RJ, don't you dare fall for this. I don't even know what he's going to say. This makes zero sense.
RJ, I think this is legitimate.
Well, Rick read the email, so he has my attention.
Okay, right. Thank you.
But I don't make fun of your height all the time like he does.
We both have J.J. McCarthy going to Minnesota, right? In our mocks?
That's correct.
Right. I, unlike Dave, have the Giants passing on J.J. McCarthy. He has the Giants taking Malik Nabers because J.J. McCarthy's already gone in his mock draft.
I see your logic.
See what I'm saying?
No.
So I knew that the Giants were bluffing.
Honestly, I question, if you guys fall for this,
that's a great argument.
Ball trick, you guys are the dumbest, you're dumb.
It's a terrific argument.
The facts are what they are. So
that was not the rules.
I'm on your side with this,
Dave. And we found out that the Jets wanted a Dunze. I said.
Yeah, okay. So because we found out the Jets wanted a Dunze, he should win.
Rick makes a compelling argument.
It's not compelling.
I can't help that the Falcons don't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, it's a Hail Mary in the 11th hour.
He's drafting like he's in a keeper league.
Yeah, I mean, you had Roma Dunze being wanted by the Colts. I didn't hear that at all. But I did hear Roma Dunze was wanted by the Jets, so it's interesting.
And try to trade up.
Yeah.
Which I did in my mind.
All right, you know what? RJ, I'm gonna say nothing now. I'm gonna let you deliberate, and you tell me who wins. Is it a tie? Does he win, or do I win?
While it is a compelling argument, I think it has to go down as a tie.
Of course, it goes down as a tie.
You stink, RJ. I mean, just have some fun once.
No, the fact that you would even try to push this narrative is embarrassing for you. And you know what? Your entire family. Why would you push this?
Why are you bringing the family?
Why are you bringing my family into this?
Because it's such an embarrassing argument that
I think it's a great argument.
Should be horrified by this.
Let me ask you a question now. If J.J. McCarthy was available in your mind as you're doing your mock draft at 6, do the Giants take him?
I don't know.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, but it doesn't
I
matter.
I did, because he was available,
and I passed.
Was
that the rules of the game?
No.
Those weren't the rules of the game.
I should get an extra point for being in Joe Shane's head and Joe Douglas's head.
Oh, my God.
Some of us were built to be GMs, and some of us weren't.
Yeah. Okay.
Some of us can play the game.
Some of us follow rules, and some of us just do what they want. Some of us fall asleep in meetings, and some of us don't.
You probably get hired by the Falcons. I probably get hired by a good team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same team that decided that as they were running through their search for a coach that Bill Belichick wouldn't be in their top three.
Think about the offseason they've had, huh?
Well done, Falcons.
We'll sign Cousins, and no one was turned off by that. That seemed like a good signing, smart signing at the time. We don't want Belichick, and we'll take a redundant position of which you can play one.
With the eighth overall pick.
It's brilliant. So the Jets, I like what the Jets did. I don't know how you could call today, unless you love J.J. McCarthy. Like, that'd be the only way. If you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be an absolute star, because the Giants love Drake May. They tried to get him. They couldn't get him. They now took Malik Nabers, who they love, period, end for the Giants. The only way I think you could hate what the Giants did is if you love J.J. McCarthy. The Jets, I don't know how you couldn't like what the Jets did. They needed the offensive lineman. They took the offensive lineman. It's obviously the one they had at that moment rated the highest on their board. And they got another pick in return for moving back one slot and not losing out on the guy they wanted anyhow. So I would love to hear from the people and what they think, but I'd be stunned if most people didn't like what the Jets and the Giants did last night.
All right, so a couple things.
Yeah.
For the people that you address first, which is the Giants fan, think about this for a second. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May all went before you had the opportunity to pick, right? So you're getting, what? Even if you like J.J. McCarthy a little bit better than someone else, maybe the third best quarterback, there are a lot of people who think that Malik Nabers is the best receiver.
Right.
So you get, in a lot of people's minds, probably the Giants too, the most explosive, maybe the best receiver in the draft. That's that part. Second part is this with the Jets. They love the three wide receivers. I was told that they loved the three wide receivers. They knew that two of them would be gone and there was a chance they could get the third one. And because Atlanta decided that they wanted to draft Michael Penix and wouldn't move because they were afraid that Vegas also wanted Michael Penix, there wasn't any chance for them to move up because Chicago wasn't trading the pick because they wanted Adunze too. So they did what they should have done, and which would the thing that we wanted them to do anyway, which was trade down, get more picks, and address the offensive line. The people that are going to call and not like it would make the same argument that you made for drafting Michael Penix. Now, different, but why are you drafting a guy that's going to be a backup when you're trying to win this year? That's what they'll say.
But you don't know that he's going to be a backup.
Well, yeah, he plays left tackle. Unless Tyron Smith gets hurt, he's going to be...
Oh, well, okay.
I mean, I'm sure they'll work him in.
But unless Tyron Smith gets hurt, there's a real chance that Tyron Smith gets hurt and misses 9, 10, 12 games. You have no idea.
Right, but I'm just... You asked what people would say. That's what they're going to say.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me say what I'm going to say.
Because they're going to want Brock... Why didn't we get Brock Bowers?
I don't know. Brock Bowers would have felt really like an odd pick there, 10th overall. Or 11th overall.
Well, dude, I mean, Aaron wanted another... Aaron wanted another weapon.
Adunze, I get. Bowers would have been, I don't know. I wouldn't have loved that. Again, I like what the Giants and the Jets did. And if you don't, that's fine.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
This is, to me, a terrible decision. I am hard-pressed to understand how this is the best decision for the New York Giants.
Yeah, Malik was our guy. He's the guy we targeted.
I'm going to focus on my craft, focus on being the best person I can be, best player I can be, best teammate, continue to have a great work ethic, hit the ground running with the Giants organization.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, big 7 o'clock hour. We're going to go a little frenzy at 7:45. That'll be nice. But I want to get into the 76ers and the Knicks from last night in just a moment. I heard that soundbite from Mike Tenenbaum. What I don't understand about that is he might be right, that McCarthy might be a star, and then if you're the Giants, you reflect back and say, God, I can't believe we let him get by. But clearly the Giants didn't think that. So for him to say he doesn't understand how the Giants could make this decision, I think it's kind of a puzzling thing to say.
Well, I think he's going off his opinion of J.J. McCarthy.
Right. So he loves McCarthy. But they clearly they don't love McCarthy.
Right. I mean, you heard we played Joe Shane before the break. Malik Nabers was their guy. If they couldn't get Drake May, it was going to be Malik Nabers. So mission accomplished.
Right. They did what they wanted to do. So I'm kind of puzzled. Like he's like, I don't know what could go through their mind. Whether you agree with it or not is one thing. What went through their mind is, we don't love J.J. McCarthy.
Right. And also, here's the thing, though, too. Right? I mean, and you've said this the entire time, is that you trust Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
I do.
And you also got to lean on the fact that, you know, Brian Daboll has had experience with some really good quarterbacks. Quarterbacks in, you know, at Alabama, what he did with Josh Allen. So if he doesn't think that J.J. McCarthy can get to that level, as good a coach as he is, he doesn't think he can get J.J. McCarthy to that level, then you can't just take a quarterback.
Of course
to
not.
Take a quarterback. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And that's obviously what they believed, whether you believe it or not. So that's just my take on things. All right. I want to just read you a couple emails I've received. And I imagine they're from Sixers fans. But listen to this. Can't wait to hear you start crying about the Knicks. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. There's a word for you. You're a hypocrite. That's one. The only punk I see is you. Stop your whining and complaining. You're nothing more than a cryberry. Knicks are losers.
Well, Knicks are still in the series.
It's nice to see we have a nice listenership in Philadelphia. That's
there,
nice.
There goes Jackie Sanchez. There goes Dave again. When the Knicks are winning, we all have to sit here and you cram it down our throats. As soon as they lose, now you're a crybaby. Wow, 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 little baby, get over it. They should be down 2 games. They got lucky in game 2, and it was an embarrassment what happened at the end. And the NBA, even so. I don't know what that means. You are a loser. Okay. The Knicks were not dirty. The Knicks did nothing dirty. If the referees screwed up the end of game 2, then so be it. The Knicks were not pulling at the legs of players when they were down on the floor, not backing into guys, not kneeing guys in the gut. Here, what I saw
in
last
the
night.
Junk.
Philly's terrific, right? Embiid as a player is terrific. All right, they shot a campaign. He might not ever have another game like that in his entire life. They shot, 55% from the floor? So what Philly did on the floor was magnificent. What Philly did as far as being a clean team was disgraceful. That was dirty. And anybody else who's not a superstar in this league is out of that game. That's a flagrant 2, and you're out of that game for doing that to Mitchell Robinson.
Well, listen, here's the difference, though. Right, for all those Sixers fans that listen, and we appreciate you listening, is our coach didn't sit on the podium and make excuses. Right? It wasn't the ref stole this game from us. That's why we lost. It's referees weren't good. I'm going to draw attention to it because when Nick Nurse did, it seems like it worked. We have to play better. We have to do things better. We can't allow Philly in the third quarter to have that kind of offensive outburst that ends up costing you the game. When they were lights out, 9-12 from 3.
I can't even believe it. I mean, three after three after three, and they hit seemingly every one.
Dude, they were 17-22 in that quarter. 9-12 from 3, they scored 43 points. Joel Embiid in the third quarter scored 18 points. He was 4-for-4 from 3. Like, that's why we lost. Joel Embiid went for 50. Tyrese Maxey, 25. All of a sudden now, campaign shows up and hits big threes. That's why we lost.
Right.
But well, you can't argue the fact that Joel Embiid is a dirty player.
Right. I'm not making the excuse that the Knicks lost because of these things. Right? Like because of the dirty nature
of
Philadelphia.
Well, no. If you wanted to, you could.
Because well, because he Joel Embiid doesn't, out of the game.
Right. He doesn't score 50. He gets thrown out of the game.
Of course. And the Knicks win this game. No. I'm saying there's two separate things. A, they're dirty, and he's dirty, and I got to be, and he's a flopper too. And secondarily, outside of that, Philly was great and deserved to win that game. There's no whining about that. If that's what you hear, then that's on you. Then you're foolish with this. All right, the Knicks did nothing dirty in game 2 because they played a physical brand of basketball. That's not dirty. Nobody should have been thrown out because the Knicks should be punished because the referee screwed up. Sorry. And Nick Nurse, I don't know. I didn't have a good angle. I didn't see anything. Give me a break. You know what? It's got. I don't like Philly to begin with because they're Philly. I now detest this version of the 76ers.
Yeah, I can't stand this team. Nick Nurse bothers me. Joel Embiid bothers me. Kyle Lowry bothers me. And listen, and I get it. Like, I mean, if you're going to get away with it, why wouldn't you do it?
No, I don't agree with that.
No, dude, if there's no repercussions, if you're not going to be held to the standard that everyone else is, then why wouldn't you do it? I'm not saying hurt people, but if you want to be a little extra physical.
Well, being extra physical is fine, but you're on the ground and a guy's going up for a shot and you're grabbing at his feet it's a dirty act.
Right, that's a dirty play. I mean, the play where Mitch actually gets hurt. I mean, he's kind of out of control, a little reckless. He knees Hartenstein in the junk, smashes OG, blindsides OG. My bigger problem is that I knew last night the whistle was going to favor the Sixers. I knew it. Everyone expected it. It's exactly what happened. Joel Embiid has 21 free throw attempts. The entire Knicks team has 19, and yet the Knicks scored 54 points in the paint. I get it. I understand it. So, you know, good for them. They complained about it. NBA admitted in the two-minute report they missed a couple fouls, so the referees decided they were going to favor the Sixers. That's not why we lost. The third quarter is why we lost.
That's exactly right. And the shooting from Philly is why we lost that game.
But Jalen Brunson finally woke up offensively. OG was better offensively. So there are some positives to be taken.
Well, I asked you yesterday. I said, could you tolerate a loss if I told you that Jalen Brunson had a terrific game? And Jalen Brunson had a terrific game. That was Jalen Brunson. And that was, I, as far as I'm concerned, that was not the typical Knicks defense, leaving guys wide open over and over and over. Knocking, I mean, they went, what, you said 9 of 12 from 3 in the third quarter?
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost unheard of. Here's the question. Do you think that Philadelphia is going to shoot 55% again in a game in this series?
No, I don't think they will. And on top of that, they shot 48%
right.
from 3.
So are they going to shoot 55% from the floor and 48% from 3? Because if they do, they're going to be real hard to beat. But I would take my chances they're not going to do that multiple times again.
Right. I think there's a better chance that role players play better in Philly, which was a concern going into this, you know, into these two games. But no, I don't think they're going to shoot lights out like that. But I also understand that in order to slow Joel Embiid down, where he's not going for, you know, 18 points in a quarter and scoring 50, is Isaiah Hartenstein, especially with Mitch out now, potentially, cannot keep getting himself into early foul trouble.
But it's hard because he's a hard guy to defend. And I think part of the thing that I looked at and I was like, all right, great, is I got 12 fouls to throw up against this guy, and Robinson's terrific defensively, and Hartenstein can score, and he adds an element. And if I lose that, if I lose what Mitchell Robinson brings to the table, it'd be catastrophic for the Knicks.
Especially, I mean, for the rebounding aspect of this, too. The Knicks actually got out-rebounded last night.
Right. But it was close, right? But they did get out-rebounded.
36-32, but, I mean, right. Hartenstein had 4 rebounds. Josh Hart had 6. I mean, it's going to be tough to slow down Joel Embiid, period, even on one leg, but you're going to need Hartenstein available. Precious was good when he came in, but let's just hope that these couple days here in between games 3 and 4 are enough to get Mitch back.
I hope so. If he doesn't come back and doesn't play, it would be a monumental loss. It really would be.
It's a huge loss. I mean, it's one of the advantages you have in the series. Is that you have those two guys and what it does for you, I mean, offensive rebounds, all that stuff. Second chance points.
Ay, ay, ay. But, you know, I mean, listen, Philly's brand of basketball, that dirty nature, that, you know, when I'm on the floor, I'm going to pull at your legs, I'm going to hit you in the gut, I'm going to hip check you. And I mean, it's dirty. Don't get me wrong. Philly played a good game last night. They deserved to win the game, right? Maxey was good. Embiid was great. Campaign, I can't believe, made the shots that he made. Like, hats off to them. They did what they had to do. But separately, they're dirty. I hate them. And let's go.
Yeah, it's one of those situations, too, where you got a player that's so good, that's consistently, you know, flopping around whining for calls. Raymond calls him a free throw merchant. And at the same time, he wants to be dirty.
Here's another one. Oh, poor little babies. You're mad the Knicks lost, so we have to make excuses.
No, it's not. I'm not mad that they lost. I didn't think they were going to win. You asked me yesterday. I thought they would lose. You thought they would lose.
And I said I think the Knicks are going to lose this game. I'm fine with the losing. I really am. I don't like it. I can tolerate it. I can being up 2-0 it's a spot where if Philly had any pride, they would answer the bell. And they did. What angers me is that Philly's a punk team, is what they are. They're a dirty little bunch of punks, is what they are.
And it's not even, it's not only like that I don't understand it. I get it. I played in the playoffs. I mean, it gets chippy. There are things that happen. My problem with this is the way this series changes now, as good as we felt up 2-0, is if something stupid like that, a dirty play like that, gets somebody hurt. And now that changes the complexion of the series. Like, what happens if when he's, you know, when Mitch is going up for that dunk, he pulls him down and Mitch's foot gets caught under Joel Embiid and he has a real, like a serious ankle that causes him to miss the rest of the playoffs?
Well, you know what? Then it would be worth it for Embiid because he got a flagrant one. That's all he got.
Yeah, or OG. I mean, when he blindsides OG, then all of a sudden, I mean, that's the face and OG's, you know, out with a concussion or something.
Or how about
stupid.
Larry hitting DiVincenzo in the head?
Like, that's my bigger concern. I understand it gets chippy. It's physical. I get that. But, I mean, the last thing you want to have happen is a dirty play causes one of our players to be injured and now miss time.
But here's the thing. There is a difference between physical and chippy and dirty. Like, the Knicks teams of the 90s were physical, and they would knock you in the mouth. But they didn't do it. I mean, maybe sometimes they even did. But it wasn't like that. Like, last night was jarring how dirty Philadelphia was.
Yeah, it was. There was some reckless plays made last night.
I almost felt, I think I put this in the group text, I almost felt like Embiid wanted to get thrown out of the game last night with the way he was playing.
Why would he want to be get? I
well,
mean,
no, I'm not saying it makes sense. I'm not saying he did. Like that's, but that's what it looked like.
A guy couldn't miss in the third quarter.
Right, but the play on Hartenstein was gross, and the play on Mitchell Robinson was grosser. And I just watching him play, it felt like, you know what? I'm not really healthy. Throw me out of the game. So there's a built-in an excuse.
Yeah, I don't know if that was what he was trying to do. I just think that he decided he wanted to, you know, he wanted to play chippy last night.
I want to hear some sound, Raymond. Fire up the Tom Thibodeau on the Embiid flagrant foul.
Which one? The one they called or the one they didn't call? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I just want to make sure we have clarity on that.
Yeah, because he's dirty. That's why. He's
last
great.
Night he was. Last night he was dirty.
He's great, and I've never said otherwise. He's dirty.
Last night there were some dirty plays made.
Really crossed the line last night. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take the break. We haven't even talked to the Knicks fan yet. Let's do that. 1-800-919-3776. 7:45, The Frenzy, and we roll along from there. DNR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
The road to the NBA Finals starts now, and new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You like the Knicks to bounce back in Game 4? Bet it. You can also bet props like three-pointers made in any game, over-unders, point totals, or first basket score, and plenty more. Just go to FanDuel.com/Rick to get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 and older and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
So this was a the question asked in the pool report to the with the officials. So crew chief Zach Zarba, this is what he said about the flagrant one instead of flagrant two.
Okay.
In that situation, the crew gets together, we go and review the foul. In this instance, the crew was unanimous along with the replay center official and Secaucus that this foul was unnecessary but did not rise to the level of flagrant two. The unnecessary contact rose to the level of a flagrant one, but we were unanimous that this does not rise to the level of excessive contact, unnecessary and excessive, which would have been a flagrant two ejection.
How?
That's why we kept it.
So two things. A, how? B, how about the other time? Moments earlier when he smacked Hartenstein right in the groin when he's running by him. How about that? That's not a flagrant one?
Well, you had two groin shots. You had that, and then you had the referee standing right next to the play where OG's trying to come up the floor and gets hip checked by.
He should have been thrown out of the game. I'm sorry. Even indeed. If you look at the one where he's on the ground and he's pulling at the legs of Robinson as a flagrant one, there was numerous times he should have gotten an additional flagrant one.
Yeah. That's right. But they didn't.
They didn't.
And so he scored 50.
All right. Well, you know what? It is what it is. And he played great. He played a great basketball game. He's just a dirty punk. Carl in Queens. Carl, you're on 98.7. Go.
Wow. Well, good morning, fellas. If there was anyone out there that needed another reason to hate Philadelphia, I think you got it last night. To quote Dave, that punk. I'll go a step further. Scum. Joel Embiid, playoff career high in points, career high in dirty plays. Lowry, too, would like to clock him in the face. Go send Will. Go get him. But and especially after he takes out Mitch's legs, guys, what got me going even more, he goes at Dante and OG. Like, he's the one, you know, he's acting a victim.
Yeah, like he's the victim there. Oh, Dante, you're annoyed with me for being dirty? How dare you?
Are you joking? And so to the punk emails you're getting, assuming it's a couple of dirty Philly fans, in order for you guys to win, four things. It took a huge, huge third quarter. Took Mitch exiting the game. Took Hartenstein getting into foul trouble. And took Embiid dropping 50. So be ready on Sunday, because I know our boys will be, because we're coming. And real quick, guys, what are they saying on Mitch day-to-day? Is that all they're saying for now?
He left in a walking boot.
There's no report. Oh, okay. There's no report. Just
well,
stay
couple
tuned.
Things. And thanks for the call. He was questionable coming into the game. If you watch the game, he never looked right. Like, even running up and down the court, he looked hobbled.
Was because they fell on his leg.
Well, but he didn't look right even before that. It got more pronounced, but he never looked healthy to me.
Well, I think I think he started to look not healthy when Embiid fell on his leg and ankle.
So I don't know. I mean, you get the extra day off, but you're in a walking boot and you look like that. I'd be surprised if he played in game four.
That's going to be a big loss if he doesn't.
Yeah, huge loss. D in Queens. Good morning, D.
Listen, what's up, fellas? And I don't want to hear any cleanup garbage because Rick played hockey. One way or the other, Embiid shouldn't have finished that game. I'm going to keep it like that. Okay? Like, I don't understand. If Knicks want to play hard, Tom Thibodeau needs to expand his bench and make sure Embiid doesn't finish the game. One way or the other. If they're going to play like that and the rest going to let it go, all right, let's have fun. Let's have fun for real. Like, enough is enough. Like, no crying. All right, bet. That's how you want to get down? We're going to put you in tears for real, Embiid. Like, for real. Because if I play ball. If someone did that playing ball, forget leaving the game.
Yeah, but that's
just
different, though.
Turn into something else.
Right, but that's not what Tibbs is about.
Tibbs
is all about playing hard, not dirty.
I understand that. But if this is how they're going to let it go, you can't play one hand behind your back. If they're allowing one dude to just act like an animal, it's time to let the beast out. Like, don't talk about you and Nick, and this is Nick's basketball. Okay, if we're talking 90s ball, none of this would have happened if Ofie was around. Let's be real honest.
You're right, but you know, different era. I mean, 90s basketball, you're now talking about 30, 35 years ago. So it's just, I'm sorry, it's just not the same. That's not, the NBA is let's be fair, the NBA is a different version. It's a softer version of what it used to be.
Who's a Charles Oakley in today's game?
I mean, Carmelo would have gone bananas over something like that. I mean, guys would have lost their mind. Bill Laimbeer would have started attacking everybody.
Yeah, but how many games? I mean, if you watch some of the Bill Laimbeer fouls that were just called fouls. I mean,
you ever seen the one on Larry Bird where he almost decapitated him?
Yeah.
Or Kevin McHale?
Clotheslined him.
Dirty, dirty stuff. Let's go to Joe in Manhattan. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
So, listen, I'm from the era also of the last caller. I understand. Guy takes the ball to the hole. Yeah, sure, he should get cracked. It's the playoffs. I understand that. So I'm not so mad about the thing with Dante. Of course, we're in Philadelphia, so their role players are going to step up, much like our guys step up in the Garden. But the NBA is setting a very, very dangerous precedent by not throwing Embiid out of that game. What you're basically saying is I could get a bum off the end of my bench to come in the game, lay down on the floor, wait for Embiid to go up, and I could just grab both of his legs and seize what happens. I know I'm only going to get one out of it.
No. Yeah, but that's not. But you know, that's not what's going to happen. This is like
but
one
think
of those.
About what you just said about
but
Carver
this is
and the other guys. You know, they conferred together and they all agreed. Yeah, you know, it was
well because it was Joe. I think because
it was Joel Embiid. It was Joel Embiid. They're not going to throw Embiid out of the game,
right? This is like the whole Jimmy Johnson thing, right? Like if Troy Aikman falls asleep in a meeting, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go wake him up. Well, what about this guy? Well, if he's I'm going to cut him.
Right.
I mean, it's the reigning MVP. He gets special treatment. As much as you hate to say that,
I'm going to regret saying this now. But you ever hear the phrase "different strokes for different folks"?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm not talking about getting to the free throw line 20 times. I'm talking about you could have potentially ended this guy's career.
I mean, Joe, you're calling it discussing things that we agree with, but they were never going to. Unless Joel Embiid does something so unbelievable, and thanks for the call. Out of line, egregious. He's not going to be thrown out of the game.
Right. And I also think it depends on who you do it to also.
It all matters.
Right? Like, I mean, if that's Jalen Brunson going up for a layup and he does that, maybe it's a different outcome.
I still say he probably doesn't get thrown out of the game.
No, probably not. But I'm just saying,
yes, Mitchell Robinson was a good person to do that against. What goes through his mind, though?
Well, what he said or what was really going through his mind? Well,
but what could possibly go through? I know what he said. What he said was embarrassing. What goes through your mind that there's a guy there, you're on the floor, he's nowhere near you, and you decide to grab onto his ankles like you're trying to tackle him?
In honesty?
Yes.
It sometimes nothing is going through your mind. Like in that moment, you just react. Like he's like, oh, he's going to go for a dunk? I'm on the ground. Let me just grab his foot.
It was really gross.
Well, it would have been gross if that foot got caught under Joel Embiid's side when he came down on it, because that would have been ugly.
Carl in Springfield. Good morning, Carl. You're on 98.7.
How you doing, guys? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate the call,
Dave,
Carl.
I feel like we vibe 312 birthday buddies.
Nice.
Happy belated.
Same to you.
Continuing with what everyone's saying and what you guys are saying, and to piggyback on what you guys were just talking about, if you watch the whole sequence, Embiid was furious. He thought he got fouled on the three, which wasn't there. And then he thought he drew an offensive foul, got right into his chest, just a tough play, goes to the ground. And then all of a sudden, in a rage of fury of the two things, he decides to grab his leg. And if those roles were reversed, Mitchell Robinson grabbing Embiid, 0% chance Mitchell Robinson is still in the game.
But Carl, don't give him the benefit of it was a rage of fury. It was a temper tantrum is what it is.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
He's an absolute baby. And thanks for the call, Carl. He's a tremendous child. He's flopping all over the place. He looks like a fish out of water. He wants to call on every single play. He gets moderately touched, and he acts like he's been, you know, slapped across the head. It's disgusting is what it is.
Yeah, we got to do a better job, though, too. We got to attack him. He's not the same player defensively. I mean, as much as Hartenstein was in early foul trouble, so was Embiid. I mean, Embiid got his third foul with...
He had this third foul midway through the second quarter.
It was 6:27 left in the second quarter. He took his third foul.
And they left him in the game.
Guys, let's attack him. Make
Which
it harder.
Which is really unheard of.
Well, this is a must-win game for them.
I know, but it's still risky. I mean, he picks up a fourth foul there?
I get it, but he's also your best chance to win.
And also, the Knicks' option offensively was Mitchell Robinson, so they're probably figuring, you know, we're not going to have to worry about him picking up his fourth.
Right.
Let's go to OG in Manhattan. Good morning, OG.
What's up, Dave? What's up, Rick? RJ? Yo, there's only one party that you guys haven't called out, and that's David Stern in the NBA. Okay, you guys...
Did you just say David Stern?
Well, I apologize. I'm 61, Dave.
I'm 51, but I know David Stern's been passed for years.
Okay. You know, it just came out of fury... I apologize. Whoever the current NBA commissioner
Adam
is.
Adam Silver would be that guy.
He should be told. Come on, man. That was obvious. And not only one, he had seven. Three out of the seven were flagrant. If it's going to be like that, then I agree what Rick says. Then let's go down the paint hard, okay? And let's put some of our bench players to play the power position and the center position to the defendant beat, and every time he goes up, pick up that foul. After everybody gets that we don't really need, gets three or four fouls on them, and he gets banged up about a good 10, 12 times, all that crap will stop. I love you guys. Keep up the good work. Rick, I need you to amp up Dave, man. He's got to bring it up a notch. Thank you, guys.
What are you looking for? Honestly, what is it that you want from me? I'm furious with that punk. I wish he was slapped across his face, but it is what it is, and we're still winning the series 2-1.
Rip your shirt off.
I'm not going to do
right now. Right now. Rip it right off.
Andrew L., the reason the Knicks fans are so mad about Embiid and his, quote, dirty plays because they're getting super worried they might get beat. Same old Knicks frauds.
That's funny coming from a Sixers fan.
Really, honestly, Sixers fans are the Philadelphia fans are the they are. You wonder why they're considered the toilet bowl of fans around the country.
This is why.
No, really. Am I wrong? Tell me what's wrong about this. They are. You know the septic tank. You know when the crap oozes out and you look at your lawn. You're like, oh no, what's happened there? You know what that is? That crap that oozes out of the ground that's come from your anus. Or you know what that is? That's too good for Sixers fans. All right, Philadelphia is a notch lower than the crap that oozes out of the septic tank. They're a grotesque fan base. And you know what they would do? If I went to the bathroom now, flushed the toilet, and it oozed, you know what they would do? They'd eat it, because that's what they do. They're a repulsive city and a repulsive fan base, and they should be punished, and I can't wait. I can't wait to beat you in game 4 and 5. You jerks.
Yes.
That's fired up.
They are, because they're the worst, is what they are.
I don't know what's worse than whatever's oozing out of the septic tank. That's pretty
worse.
Nasty.
Whatever's oozing out of the septic tank, that they're not even at that level.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania run wild on you?
They look up to that level of feces and says, man, we wish we were that good. We're worse than that.
Well, that was pretty aggressive, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
What Philly did on the floor was magnificent. What Philly did as far as being a clean team was disgraceful.
Embiid flail with his leg caught Robinson right there.
That was dirty. And anybody else who's not a superstar in this league is out of that game.
You don't go out there trying to hurt someone. You play basketball. And Nick Nurse, you know you a punk.
Is there any concern that he might be losing his cool, losing control a little bit in the first quarter then?
Nope. But he's just playing tough.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Punk.
On 98.7 ESPN.
We were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Don't Michelle.
All right, DNR with you, the big 9 o'clock hour. In this hour, you have a lot of calls, a lot of Knicks, obviously, and still leading this series 2-1. We dissect the Rangers for a minute or two, but not a ton, because they're up 2-0. They feel good. Neighbors to the Giants, and I'm going to try it. Fashionu.
Yes,
the Jets.
There See? It is.
Because fashion, new.
Yeah, it's your new little fashion. Trick. Your new trick that you learned has worked out perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So let's start with the football. We'll get to the basketball. Then you can call on whatever you'd like because there's so much going on. 1-800-919-3776. I like the Neighbors pick. I think May clearly was their guy. Sounds like they tried every way to move up to 3 and grab Drake May. They couldn't do it. They didn't love McCarthy enough, and they took what they deemed to be the best player available at 6.
Right. So, I mean, the way Joe Shane made me feel was, and now, did he ever admit that they were going to, I mean, it was just reports, right, that they were offering whatever they were going to offer to try to get Drake May?
I don't think he said that, no.
Okay, he didn't say that, but the reports were.
But Renan had it, so I mean, it's you know.
It's good information.
Right.
It sounds like their board was Drake May and then Malik Nabers. And if they couldn't get Drake May, Malik Nabers is exactly who they wanted. And part of the reason why they put so much time and effort into the quarterbacks was to give the impression to everyone else that there was a real chance at 6 they would take J.J. McCarthy. And hopefully a team like Minnesota would move up. Because you didn't know. I mean, I know as we got to like the last couple of days, a lot of people had, you know, Latham or an offensive lineman attached to the Chargers, but they just lost Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. They could have still drafted a wide receiver there at 5.
Absolutely.
And now you're sitting there with no Harrison Jr. or no Malik Nabers.
Well, I wonder if Nabers was taken. Do they take Odunze? Do they take McCarthy? I can't imagine it would be McCarthy because if you obviously didn't love him. Or do you trade back if you were the Giants there?
Well, I asked you that earlier. You'd think that. Maybe they probably trade back at that point.
Unless you really liked Odunze, because they could have really liked Odunze.
Well, here's the other report. Aha, here's the other report. Uh-huh. So your guy Connor Hughes actually said the Jets called the Giants to get up to 6 to get Odunze.
And the Giants said no?
No, so maybe that's what happens. If Neighbors goes 5, right. Jets, they actually make that deal, and the Jets get up to 6 to get Odunze.
And the Jets get Odunze.
Yeah.
I wonder what they would offer the Giants for that.
Well, the Jets wanted Odunze. They
right.
loved. I was told that they loved the 3 wide receivers and expected if there was one available, it was going to be Odunze, and that's who they wanted. And they tried to get up, but because Giants were taking a receiver, and then Atlanta decided we're going to take Michael Penix, there was no chance to do it.
I mean, Atlanta changed the entire feel of the draft at 8.
It was everyone at the desk was shocked.
I can't believe it.
Well, I mean, I guess the thought process would be that Kirk Cousins will be a quarterback for the next 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And then Michael Penix.
Quarterback for 3 years down the road?
Yeah. I mean.
Come on.
Well, dude, I mean, I guess the argument would be it's the most important position in football.
Right, but we're talking about all the time.
And how many more? Okay, but how many.
The huge benefit of having the young quarterback is you don't pay him for a number of years.
Right, but we've also seen that the quarterbacks that haven't been rushed and actually have some time benefit from it.
I'm not saying rush him, but not play him for 2 years?
Okay, I'm with you. I'm giving you the other side of this. So now, when is the next time do you think having the opportunity to draft your future quarterback and not having to leverage other picks if you have this team right now? When do you think the next time the Falcons feel like they're going to be in a spot to do that?
I have no idea, but it wouldn't be my thought. My thought would be, I have a good team now. I can easily win this division now. Let me add and make this team as good as humanly possible.
Well, that's what you would think because they just
to you the point just where opened a bag for Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And then you wake up the next day and you're like, you know what? Now we'll take Michael Penix. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, which is why when you make a move like that and guarantee him $100 million coming off a freaking Achilles injury that you feel like we want to win now, we have a real chance to win the South. So why not use that eighth pick to help you do that? This isn't like this guy has fallen like Green Bay did a couple times. Where, Aaron Rodgers could have been the first overall pick, ends up sliding through the draft, and like, we can't pass up
but
this opportunity.
They didn't spend major money on Aaron Rodgers that offseason. Aaron Rodgers was in the fold.
No, I'm saying when they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, when they drafted Rodgers with Favre?
Yeah, right. Or when they drafted Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't a top 10 pick.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just think it's such a...
That has to be the thought process, though. That's it. We think we're good enough now that we can win with Kirk Cousins, and we have a chance at eight.
And still build towards the future?
Well, yeah, to have Michael Penix sit there and learn for a couple years.
So you're going to pop in a 27-year-old quarterback as a rookie?
It feels like that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying I agree with it, but that has to be the conversation that he was having with Arthur Blank in the war room.
I understand what their thought process was. I don't agree with it at all.
I guess you have to think that with the addition of Kirk Cousins, what we already have, we most likely won't be in a spot again to get a quarterback that we have graded as highly as we have Michael Penix. So why not take that opportunity now so down the road,
right,
we're not searching for one?
Fair. But my thought process would be I'm going to get at least 3 years out of Kirk Cousins. I'll deal with that in 3 years.
Correct. Well, that's what most people thought.
Well, I mean, it's not like the Jets took Michael Penix, right, or were interested in a quarterback.
No, because they're trying to win.
Oh, exactly.
Immediately.
Exactly.
Well, but also, okay, in here, I hate that I'm playing both sides of this because I agree with you,
right,
is Raheem Morris was just hired. Like, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are on the way out if they don't win.
Fair. But you could have had the greatest coach in the history of football, and you didn't want him, and then you take Michael Penix.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
It's
signing Kirk Cousins
odd.
And guaranteeing $100 million screams, I'm trying to win this division now. So why not use the eighth pick to help
and
this
try to
team
win it
right now?
And listen, New Orleans is pretty good, right? Tampa's pretty good, and Carolina looks like they might stink. But, I mean, there are two teams that are not far off from what you are. Not like it's a foregone conclusion that Atlanta wins a division.
No, it's not a foregone conclusion at all. But that's
right.
Why you signed Kirk Cousins to give you a better,
right,
a chance
but I'm
to
saying,
do that.
Once you sign Cousins, it's not like you look at this and say, all right, now the division is ours. Now we can build for the future a little bit. It's still very much up in the air, and I think a guy that could get to the quarterback or an elite receiver, anything else would have made sense.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why?
Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Not only did the Falcons go crazy and take Michael Penix, they almost knew nothing about him. Listen to this. Michael Penix did not take a top 30 visit to Atlanta. Falcons only attended a 45-minute workout, met with him at the combine. Almost unheard of for a quarterback taken in the first round to not be on a team's top 30. In the end, they felt comfortable with the work they did. It was wild.
So they weren't lurking, in other words.
They were not lurking. Diana, I have been lurking. You set that up nice, huh? You happy with yourself?
It was, again.
No, really. I honestly, you happy with yourself?
It's low-hanging fruit. Yeah, I'm very pleased with myself.
So I wonder this, though. If there was never any thought from anybody that the Falcons were connected to Michael Penix, like we even heard the Giants like Michael Penix, there was no shot that they could even trade down from 8 to 10 and still get Michael Penix?
I guess they were worried that someone was going to snap up and
then
take
what,
him.
Then what, Vegas was going to jump up to 9?
Well, otherwise, why would you not, right? Because you know the Jets wanted 8, and you know that the Bears were going to take, we're not going to take Penix, so.
No, there was some thought that the Bears could trade out, though.
Right, well, that would be your only concern, because the Jets were going to take Adunze 8.
Well, which maybe they do, though. So, right, so if Adunze goes 8.
Then the Bears there's no receiver they like, maybe they trade out and Penix goes at 9, and then if you're 10, you're left holding the bag.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say is, if you love a guy, you take them, right? Like, I wouldn't worry about, like, you took them 8, you could have moved back to 10. If you truly love them, I don't know why, the whole thing feels very odd. But if you love them and that's your guy, take your guy.
I'm with you. I'm with you, but it's just, I mean, you have two different kind of philosophies here going on at the same time. Like, you went out of your way to the point where you're being investigated for tampering to sign Kirk Cousins to a 4-year deal and guarantee him $100 million, which is we feel like we got a really good chance. I mean, you heard Raheem Morris talk about, or I don't even know if it was Raheem Morris, but someone said, I think it was Raheem Morris, you know, watching the tape, you know, we're a quarterback away from being a playoff team. Like, if Desmond Ridder just can't help himself and not turn the ball over, we're probably a playoff team. So you sign Kirk Cousins because you feel like you get a chance to win the division. Why not help?
It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Now, and then you're burning at least, what, I mean, 2 years?
2 years.
Penix's rookie year?
I mean, the player you just drafted who otherwise would have helped you, I imagine, tremendously, will do nothing for you for years.
Unless he steps on the field in year 3 and is great.
Right. And listen, if he steps on the field and he's a star, then we'll wind up eating crow. But I don't know. Feels very odd. Raymond?
Hi.
Are you ready?
I think so.
You do realize that of everything you do all week long and do it so well, this is the one people look forward to the most, right?
Nothing is as valuable.
All right. Nothing. Well, let's see what you got.
These
are the plays of the week.
You week win 2, and they're 0-2.
Week win 2.
We started off the week with Tom Bauer in for RJ, and I got to be honest, it didn't get off to a great start.
Well, that sucks to be you. Let's keep the show moving, though.
But you know what? We battled. We endured. Rick battled all week. He's got to be commended because, like, there were really real concerns at the beginning of the week whether Rick should even be doing the show, and I just want to say that I'm proud of him for that.
Oh, my God. Right? We really are
unbelievable.
Thank
you, Raymond.
I fight through a COVID episode, which the doctors were amazed I could even get out of bed.
Rick had no voice.
And Rick gets the commendation because he fought through an eye virus.
I was like one-eyed Willie for like 3 days.
Right.
You also need to be commended, Dave, because it was Passover this weekend. You had the big Seder dinner to be responsible for on Monday, and you had to watch sports at the same time. You had a lot invested in the Knicks and everything. Ty is over here trolling as usual.
You take little Ty on your little radio bosom and you're trying to feed him.
I brought him right on the bosom, and this is the thanks I get.
The thanks you get. For some reason, you started this fascination with me being the most interesting man in the world.
Dos equis. No, it's dos equis. How do you say it?
Dos equis.
Dos equis.
Oh, my God.
Para dos chicas. I think it's pronounced Dr. Josh A, actually.
Very nice. Things going on in my apartment, allegedly.
I'd like you to take him in your half bedroom and punish him.
You carry around the apartment like a sack of vegetables?
Mm-hmm. But it's okay. Knicks won the big game 2, and I think the guy Nick tried to email you and say, why are we talking about the Knicks? I mean, how could we do a thing on a New York station, the Knicks flagship station of all things, and you almost lost it on this poor guy.
Listen, Nick, if you are not... It was that close, wasn't it?
It was very close. Another thing that you almost did, and I'm thankful you didn't do, was call up Andrew Gundling to trash talk him, especially in light of what happened last night. I don't think it would have been a good idea. I mean, and you took that the wrong way, of course.
Really, the two of you deserve each other. Carpe Omnia, we're going to go all in. His poop-eating team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would bet you, knowing Gundling the way I do, that he believes that Embiid was dirty last night.
I'd love to hear his take on
it. I think he would own
it. Maybe I'll text him.
I'm going to text him right now.
See what he thinks. Let me know as we continue here.
I'm sure the K-Show will talk. We'll call him so they have to talk about the NFL draft today.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. Tom Bauer continued in his trek to try and anger Dave as much as possible, like in Stump Rothenberg there in the 5-pack.
You know that it's skill position, right?
Yes.
And you decided, you know what, to hell with it, I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Yeah, kind of.
And that's what he did.
I love, you know it's skill position, right? Yes.
He didn't care.
No.
And I respect him for not caring. Sticks by his guns. You know who else sticks by his guns? Mel Kiper. Turns out, doesn't have a landline. He was literally driving to the draft, driving through Pennsylvania, I think he said. He joins us for the spot, and it turns out that the phone he's used is not actually his own, but it throws us way back to the day of using pagers.
I bet you had a pager back in the day, didn't you? Yeah, you did.
He definitely did.
Oh, I did.
Doing many vile things when it comes to that page.
No, stop.
Mm. Dave had another rage moment, but it all stems back to
to a name.
Dave, it's not about who you like, who you don't
like. Of course
it's
about, oh my God, hang up on him. For God's sakes, hang up on him.
Hang up on Tony, and we'll flash you back.
Tony, you're a ball. You're a big baller down there in Delaware?
That's a different Tony.
I can yell louder than you, and I can sing while I yell. I am multitasking as we speak. Tony, you sound like a geek.
Yet another Tony. So I guess the moral of the story.
I hate Tonys. That's right.
It doesn't even stop there, though, because who we got to call her Sharky?
Bob for apples, pal.
Bob for apples.
So drown yourself in a tub.
Getting nasty. Thursday, NFL draft, Knicks, Isles. The big story. RJ came back, and we're so happy to have him.
Oh, my God.
Less handsome, less successful version of Field.
What's the Costco brand?
Kirkland.
Kirkland.
Yes,
he's Kirkland Field Yates.
I am Kirkland Field Yates, yes.
I'm very appreciative to have our Kirkland Field Yates.
The good news is you could buy like 12 of me for the price of one Field.
That's right. Is it Kirkland or Kirkland?
I thought it was Kirkland, but everyone says Kirkland, so I'll go with Kirkland. Okay. Another day, another shooter call for the Hall of Fame.
Embiid looks like a jerk. He throws us around. He throws his own players around. And I think we're going to win this series. We're going to win this series.
Your child needs you. Your child, he's desperate for your attention. The kid's going to be in therapy for the rest of his life,
Let's
for God's sakes.
Let's go, Nick.
Put that one on the wall with such greatness as...
Daddy.
Quiet class, Ron on the radio. Just kidding, guys.
Ha-ha.
You blank mother. Blank sucker mother. That's the line.
What is happening?
Once again, the moral.
Shooter is the exact guy, Rick, that I was talking about that gets me nuts.
All right.
You know what, Shooter? Never change.
Daddy.
I'm telling you, listening to that daddy clip again, I think he was so close to saying, will you be quiet so I could finish my point?
Sure. Would you shut your mouth?
Very close. You almost did the same thing. You turned on RJ today.
You know, here's the thing. We're not playing any more sound today. Take all the sound you've cut, RJ, and shove it right where the sun doesn't shine.
Because we're all Joel Embiid's here.
You're Joel Embiid, and you're Joel Embiid, and you're Joel Embiid. I'm working with Joel Embiid's.
We got a frenzy steamroll.
Fire up the frenzy, Raymond.
RJ, hold on.
Fire it up!
No, don't do it.
It's time for frenzy.
You can steamroll. Go right ahead.
And RJ, was that you yelling?
It was chaos. I was scared.
And, of course, reminiscing about the good old days.
What year did you leave BU, Rick?
I left after 2000.
I'll sit back while you guys reminisce about collegiate days.
Do you think anyone in the world, outside of maybe Rick and you, had any interest in, hey, do you know Jim Fahey? What year did you graduate? No. No one cares. Nice job, Raymond. It's Rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg.
Carpe Omnia.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Fashion anew.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.